Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
All this week, we've been looking at China's global infrastructure plan known as Belt and Road, or One Belt, One Road. Yesterday, we heard from Myanmar, where One Belt, One Road is shifting the geopolitics of Southeast Asia.
Right now, the Burmese population start to, you know, have a positive view on the Chinese, especially after the Rakhine and Rohingya crisis. They think that, you know, OBOR somehow is the solution if the Western parties do not work or trade with us.
Today, we conclude our series with a look at East Africa. James Shikwati is an economist and director of the Inter-Region Economic Network. He joins us from Nairobi, Kenya. James, what kind of projects are going on in this region as part of the effort?
In East Africa, the main thrust of the One Belt, One Road has been identified as what is popularly referred here in Kenya as the standard gauge railway that moves from Mombasa to Nairobi. But we do have other supporting projects, for example, the planned Bagamoyo port that is supposed to be one of the biggest ports in East Africa being built in Tanzania. And also there's a Lamu port. And then, of course, there's also the Chinese projects in Djibouti. So these are seen as gateways or entry points of the One Belt, One Road into Africa.
And the railway just opened recently. We've talked about it on the show before. Was that made mostly by Chinese workers or Kenyan workers?
Actually, the railway was made in terms of technical expertise, Chinese workers, but in terms of the actual delivery on the ground, it was a mix of Kenyan workers and Chinese supervisors, because there was a lot of lobbying by politicians and local leaders to ensure that they have local manpower also benefit from the project as it passed through their areas of jurisdiction.
And what was the purpose of it from China's perspective? Why would China want to build a railway in East Africa?
Well, there are several aspects. When you look at the heart of Africa, now here I'm talking about Congo, and when you look at South Sudan, we're looking at countries that are rich in mineral resources. And then when you look at the symbolism of the rail line, you know, East Africa is what it is because of the old Kenya-Uganda Railway that was put up by the British. And so the symbolism of uprooting a British rail line and replacing it with a Chinese rail line, I think could also be signaling some kind of changing trends as far as maybe the future of geopolitics.
Now, as an economist, do you see this as beneficial for the people of East Africa, for the people of Kenya?
Well, if I give from the Kenyan example, I think what I see here is a very, very tough challenge for Kenyans. I think China stands to benefit more from its long-term vision. Because if you look at the debate, for example, on the standard gauge railway, the goods are coming in, but there's no clear indication of goods coming out of Kenya going to use that railway line to go to China or to go to the rest of the world. So it seems to be a scenario where we're setting up a huge supermarket in Africa, as opposed to also preparing Africa to have factories that can produce goods for both the African market and international market.
How do the people of Kenya feel about this Chinese investment?
I would say in terms of speed of delivery, it's quite exciting to the majority of people in East Africa because highways are completed in time. If you're talking about bridges, now even with the railway line, it was completed in record time. But there's also the aspect of corruption. And I think the key point here has been the overpricing of Chinese projects. It's not that these projects are for free. East Africans are going to pay for these projects. And if I give a Kenyan example, there's this debate where the other day the government made it compulsory for everybody who imports goods from outside Kenya to put those goods on the standard gauge railway. So already there's that speculation that because China wants to recoup and have the debt paid back, is forcing that all goods must be on the rail line. So when we look at such examples, then it creates a lot of fear apart from celebrating the efficiency of delivery of projects, there's that fear that eventually the countries might easily get mortgaged to China.
Do you think that China's involvement in East Africa is hurting the standing of the United States and other Western nations in that region?
If I give from the Kenyan example, the answer is yes, because I've just been observing how the United States have been conducting themselves since Kenya held elections on August 8th of 2017. And for the first time, United States appears to be not taking a stronger stand in terms of democratic processes. They seem to be creating compromises because of their competition with China. So I think courtesy of Chinese presence here, I think now we are seeing real politics at play where it's about interest and it doesn't matter about values. And this is something that is totally new because Kenyans were used to a United States that would hold the standards of values very high and then bring the interests maybe at another level. So I think it's now playing right here in the East African stage.
So what's next for China's Belt and Road Initiative in East Africa?
I think we're going to see more of this because already I think 3 weeks ago, something very interesting happened. The Chinese Communist Party send its top officials to start training the ruling coalition in Kenya. And so probably what we are going to have going forward is not just the hardware in terms of infrastructure projects. It seems to be that the Chinese now are ready to flex their software as well. So going forward, maybe the debate will start being about what type of governance system is going to work in East Africa.
Do people see this as modern-day colonialism?
Well, from the history of colonialism, it rarely happens like flipping an electrical switch. You know, every time any new power coming to knock at the doorstep of another one, they'll always talk about friendship, partnership. But then if the example I've just given of now trying to bring in the software of training even the political parties to emulate the Communist Party of China, somebody can easily derive some projection that, yes, it might reach a stage where now everybody will be told you have to toe the line or the Chinese will not respect you or maybe collaborate with you.
That's James Shikwati, who's an economist and director of the Inter-Region Economic Network in Nairobi, talking with us about China's One Belt, One Road initiative and what's happening there in East Africa. James, thank you.
Welcome.
And you can find all our conversations about Belt and Road at hereandnow.org. They were produced by Chris Bentley and Rachel Finlayson.